And now it's time for the Northern Storyteller. Hello, I'm Jana Orchard. Today I'll be reading from the book Tales of Wonder by Jane Yolen. The Moon Ribbon. There was once a plain but good-hearted girl named Silva, whose sole possession was a ribbon her mother had left her. It was a strange ribbon, the color of moonlight, for it had been woven from the gray hairs of her mother, and her mother's mother, and her mother's mother's mother before her. Silva lived with her widowed father in a great house by the forest's edge. Once the great house had belonged to her mother, but when she died, it became Silva's father's house to do with as he willed. And what he willed was to live simply and happily with his daughter, without thinking of the day to come. But one day, when there was little enough to live on, and only the great house to recommend him, Silva's father married again, a beautiful widow who had two beautiful daughters of her own. It was a disastrous choice, for no sooner were they wed when it was apparent that the woman was mean in spirit and meaner in tongue. She dismissed most of the servants and gave their chores over to Silva, who followed her orders without complaint, for simply living in her mother's house with her loving father seemed enough for the girl. After a bit, however, the old man died in order to have some peace, and the house passed on to the stepmother. Scarcely 2 days had passed, or maybe three, when the stepmother left off mourning the old man and turned on Silva. She dismissed the last of the servants without their pay. "Girls," she called out, for she never used Silva's name, "you will sleep in the kitchen and do the charring." And for that time on, it was so. So Silva swept the floor and washed and mended the family's clothing. She sewed and hoed and tended the fields. She ground the wheat and kneaded the bread, and she waited on the others as though she was a servant. But she did not complain. Yet late at night, when the stepmother and her own two daughters were asleep, Silva would weep bitterly into her pillow, which was nothing more than an old broom laid in front of the hearth. One day, when she was cleaning out an old desk, Silva came upon a hidden drawer, which she had never seen before. Trembling, she opened the drawer. It was empty, except for a silver ribbon with a label attached to it. "For Silva," read the card, "the moon ribbon of her mother's hair." She took it out and stared at it, and all that she had lost was borne in upon her. She felt the tears start in her eyes, and so as not to cry, she took the tag off and began to stroke the ribbon with her hand. It was rough and smooth at once, and shone like the rays of the moon. At that moment, her stepsisters came into the room. "What is that?" asked one. "Is it nice? It's mine." "I want it. I saw it first," cried the other. The noise brought the stepmother to them. "Show it to me," she said. Obediently, Silva came over and held the ribbon out to her. But when the stepmother picked it up, it looked like no more than strands of gray hair woven together unevenly. It was prickly to the touch. "Disgusting," said the stepmother, dropping it back into Silva's hand. "Throw it out at once." "Burn it," cried one stepsister. "Bury it," cried the other. "Oh, please, it was my mother's. She left it for me. Please let me keep it," begged Silva. The stepmother looked again at the gray strand. "Very well," she said with a grim smile. "It suits you." And she strode out of the room, her daughters behind her. Now that she had the silver ribbon, Silva thought her life would be better, but instead it became worse. As if to punish her for speaking out for the ribbon, her sisters were at her to wait on them both day and night. And whereas before she had to sleep by the hearth, she now had to sleep outside with the animals. Yet she did not complain or run away, for she was tied by her memories to her mother's house. One night, when the frost was on the grass, turning each blade into a silver spear, Silva threw herself to the ground in tears. And the silver ribbon, which she had tied loosely about her hair, slipped off and lay on the ground before her. She had never seen it in the moonlight. It glittered and shone and seemed to ripple. Silva bent over to touch it, and her tears fell upon it. Suddenly, the ribbon began to grow and change. And as it changed, the air was filled with a woman's soft voice speaking these words. Silver ribbon, silver hair, carry silver with great care. Bring my daughter home. And there at Silva's feet was a silver river that glittered and shone and rippled in the moonlight. There was neither boat nor bridge, but Silva did not care. She thought the river would wash away her sorrows, and without a single word she threw herself in. But she did not sink. Instead, she floated like a swan, and the river bore her on past houses and hills, past high places and low. And strange to say, she was not wet at all. At last she was carried around a great bend in the river and deposited gently on a grassy slope that came right down to the water's edge. Silva scrambled up onto the bank and looked about. There was a great meadow of grass, so green and still it might have been painted on. At the meadow's rim, near a dark forest, sat a house that was like, and yet not like, the one in which Silva lived. Surely someone will be there who can tell me where I am and why I have been brought here, she thought. So she made her way across the meadow, and only where she stepped down did the grass move. When she moved beyond, the grass sprang back and was the same as before. And though she passed larkspur and meadowsweet, clover and rye, they did not seem like real flowers, for they had no smell at all. Am I dreaming, she wondered, or am I dead? But she did not say it out loud, for she was afraid to speak into the silence. Silva walked up to the house and hesitated at the door. She feared to knock, and yet feared equally not to. As she was deciding, the door opened of itself, and she walked in. She found herself in a large, long, dark hall with a single crystal door at the end that emitted a strange glow the color of moonlight. As she walked down the hall, her shoes made no clatter on the polished wood floor, and when she reached the door, she tried to peer through into the room beyond, but the crystal panes merely gave back her own reflection 12 times. Silva reached for the doorknob and pulled sharply. The glowing crystal knob came off in her hand. She would have wept then, but anger stayed her. She beat her fist against the door, and it suddenly gave way. Inside was a small room lit only by a fireplace and a round white globe that hung from the ceiling like a pale, wan moon. Before the fireplace stood a tall woman, dressed all in white. Her silver white hair was unbound and cascaded to her knees. Around her neck was a silver ribbon. Welcome, my daughter, she said. Are you my mother? Asked Silva wonderingly. For what little she remembered of her mother, she remembered no one as grand as this. I am, if you make me so, came the reply. And how do I do that? Asked Silva. Give me your hand. As the woman spoke, she seemed to move away. Yet she moved not at all. Instead, the floor between them moved and cracked apart. Soon they were separated by a great chasm, which was so black it seemed to have no bottom. I cannot reach, said Silva. You must try, the woman replied. So Silva clutched the crystal knob to her breast and leaped, but it was too far. As she fell, she heard a woman's voice speaking from behind her and before her and all about her. Well done, my daughter, you are halfway home. Silva landed gently on the meadow grass, but a moment's walk from her house. In her hand, she still held the knob, shrunk now to the size of a jewel. The river shimmered once before her and was gone. And where it had been was the silver ribbon lying limp and damp in the morning frost. The door to the house stood open. She drew a deep breath and went in. "What is that?" cried one of the stepsisters when she saw the crystalline jewel in Silver's hand. "I want it," cried the other, grabbing it from her. "I will take that," said the stepmother, snatching it from them all. She held it up to the light and examined it. "It will fetch a good price and repay me for my care of you." "Where did you get it?" she asked them. Silver tried to tell them of the ribbon and the river, the tall woman and the black crevasse, but they laughed at her and did not believe her, if they could not explain away the jewel. So they left her then and went off to the city to sell it. When they returned, it was late. They thrust Silver outside to sleep and went themselves to their comfortable beds to dream of their new riches. Silver sat on the cold ground and thought about what had happened. She reached up and took down the ribbon from her hair. She stroked it, and it felt smooth and soft and yet hard, too. Carefully, she placed it on the ground. In the moonlight, the ribbon glittered and shone. Silver recalled the song she had heard, so she sang it to herself. "Silver ribbon, silver hair, carry silver with great care. Bring my daughter home." Suddenly, the ribbon began to grow and change, and there at her feet was a silver highway that glittered and glistened in the moonlight. Without a moment's hesitation, Silver got up and stepped out onto the road and waited for it to bring her to the magical house. But the road did not move. "Strange," she said to herself, "why does it not carry me as the river did?" Silver stood on the road and waited a moment more. Then she tentatively set one foot in front of the other. As soon as she had set off on her own, the road set off too, and they moved together past fields and forests, faster and faster until the scenery seemed to fly by and blur into a moon-bleached rainbow of yellows, grays, and black. The road took a great turning and then quite suddenly stopped, but Silver did not. She scrambled up to the bank where the road ended and found herself again in the meadow. At the far rim of the grass, where the forest began, was a house that she had seen before. Silver strode purposefully through the grass, and this time the meadow was filled with the songs of birds, the meadowlark and the bunting, and the sweet jug-jug-jug of the nightingale. She could smell fresh-mown hay and pungent pine. The door of the house stood wide open, so Silver went right in. The long hall was no longer dark, but filled with the strange moon glow. And when she reached the crystal door at the end and gazed at her reflection 12 times in the glass, she saw her own face set with strange gray eyes and long gray hair. She put her hand up to her mouth to stop herself from crying out, but the sound came through and the door opened of itself. Inside was the tall woman all in white, and the globe above her was as bright as a harvest moon. "Welcome, my sister," the woman said. "I have no sister," said Silver, "but the two stepsisters I left at home, and you are none of those." "I am if you make me so." "How do I do that?" "Give me back my heart, which you took from me yesterday." "I did not take your heart. I took nothing but a crystal jewel." The woman smiled. "It was my heart." Silver looked stricken. "But I cannot give it back. My stepmother took it from me." "No one can take unless you give." "I had no choice." "There is always a choice," the woman said. Silver would have cried then, but a sudden thought struck her. "Then it must have been your choice to give me your heart." The woman smiled again, nodded gently, and held out her hand. Silver placed her hand in the woman's, and there glowed for a moment on the woman's breast a silvery jewel that melted and disappeared. "Now will you give me your heart?" "I have done that already," said Silver, and as she said it, she knew to be true. The woman reached over and touched Silver on her breast, and her heart sprung out into the woman's hand and turned into two fiery red jewels. "Once given, twice gained," said the woman. She handed one of the jewels back to Silver. "Only take care that you give each jewel jeweled with love. Silver felt the jewel, warm and glowing in her hand, and at its touch felt such comfort as she had not had in many days. She closed her eyes, and a smile came on her face, and when she opened her eyes, she was standing on the meadow grass, not two steps from her own door. It was morning, and by her feet lay the silver ribbon, limp and damp from the frost. The door to her house stood open. Silver drew in her breath, picked up the ribbon, and went in. "What has happened to your hair?" asked one stepsister. "What has happened to your eyes?" asked the other. For indeed, Silver's hair and eyes had turned silver as the moon. But the stepmother saw only the fiery red jewel in Silver's hand. "Give it to me," she said, pointing to the gem. At first Silver had held out her hand, but then quickly drew it back. "I cannot," she said. The stepmother's eyes became hard. "Girl, give it here." "I will not," said Silver. The stepmother's eyes narrowed. "Then you shall tell me where you got it." "That I shall, and gladly," said Silver. She told them of the silver ribbon and the silver road, of the house with the crystal door. But strange to say, she left out the woman in her words. The stepmother closed her eyes and thought. At last she said, "Let me see this wondrous silver ribbon, that I may believe what you say." Silver handed her the ribbon, but she was not fooled by her stepmother's tone. The moment the silver ribbon lay prickly and limp in the stepmother's hand, she looked up triumphantly at Silver. Her face broke into a wolfish grin. "Fool," she said, "the magic is herein. With this ribbon there are jewels for the taking." She marched out of the door, and the stepsisters hurried behind her. Silver walked after them, but slowly, stopping in the open door. The stepmother flung the ribbon down, and the early morning sun glowed as if with a cold flame. "Say the words, girl," the stepmother commanded. From the doorway, Silver whispered, "Silver ribbon, silver hair, lead the ladies with great care, lead them to their home." The silver ribbon wiggled and writhed in the sunlight, and as they watched, it turned into a silver red stair that went down into the ground. "Wait," cried Silver, "do not go." But it was too late. With a great shout, the stepmother gathered up her skirts and ran down the steps, her daughters fast behind her. And before Silver could move, the ground had closed up after them, and the meadow was as before. On the grass lay the silver ribbon, limp and dull. Silver went over and picked it up. As she did so, the jewel melted in her hand, and she felt a burning in her breast. She put her hand up to it, and she felt her heart beating strongly beneath. Silver smiled, put the silver ribbon in her pocket, and went back into her house. After a time, Silver's hair returned to its own color, except for 7 silver strands, but her eyes never changed back. And when she was married and had a child of her own, Silver plucked the silver strands from her own hair and wove them into the silver ribbon, which she kept in a wooden box. When Silver's child was old enough to understand, the box with the silver ribbon was put into her safekeeping, and she has kept them for her own daughter to this very day. You've been listening to a story from the book Tales of Wonder by Jane Yolen, published by Shock and Books. Northern Storyteller is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our program is coordinated by Ron Inouye. Our engineer is Robert Gilfillan. The executive producer is Carla Tonella. And I'm Jana Orchard.